It's The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and we've got election coverage. Voters in five states cast their ballots on Tuesday. There were primary races in Washington, Missouri, Michigan, and Kansas, plus a special election in Ohio to fill the seat of Republican Pat Tiberi, who resigned last October. Elena Schneider is campaigns reporter at Politico, and thanks for being with us again, Elena.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So let's start out with the Democrats, specifically the progressive wing of the party. We saw several candidates who were endorsed by Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez who lost. What does that tell us about whether or not the Democrats are ready for a move further to the left?
Well, I think it just says that an endorsement from Sanders or Ocasio-Cortez isn't necessarily a silver bullet to victory. Gretchen Whitmer, the state senator who won the Michigan gubernatorial race over Abdul El-Sayed, who had the endorsement from Sanders, she was a longtime frontrunner. She had really built up a base for herself between labor, sort of more traditional Democratic voters. It just means simply that he wasn't able to break through in that. It doesn't necessarily doom them by any means, but it also means that he was able to move for a little bit to the left issue-wise. So I think on the whole, progressives will count that as a success.
And then there we have the special election in Central Ohio's 12th congressional district, where GOP candidate Troy Balderson declared victory last night, even though the race is still too close to call. I'm wondering, do you think Balderson would have done so well without the endorsement from the president?
That's really up for debate still. I think that we're going to start wading through some of the data. These pollsters are going to start talking to us a little more about what they saw after the president came and stumped for Balderson over the weekend, whether or not that was a boost to him in the rurals. According to one pollster I spoke with last night, he really believes that it was. Others are still pointing to the Kasich endorsement. So Balderson was able to unite both President Trump and Governor John Kasich with their endorsement. So we're still wading through which one was sort of better for him, but keeping Trump's endorsement and also having him come out there for him certainly was one element of a way to make sure that the base was going to show up for him.
And in Michigan, we had Democratic Senator Debbie Stabenow, who will face conservative and self-described quote-unquote outsider John James, who's an African-American who also got an endorsement from President Trump. What are you seeing in this race?
That's one where Trump's endorsement seemed to have really caught the tailwind of sort of James's momentum. He was already starting to rise in the polls in the final weeks. He was able to sort of catch some more earned media, so a lot more coverage of him. He's a really interesting character and candidate. And Trump's endorsement was obviously able to boost him potentially over the edge. And I think that that's one place where Trump can point to is where he can say, look, my endorsement still works in these Republican primaries.
That's also one of the few African-American candidates who is running and who has the president's eye right now. Going back to the national landscape, the Republicans will have 42 open House seats in the midterms. And I'm wondering, what are their chances of maintaining a majority in Congress?
Well, look, we saw another key data point out of Ohio today that sort of tells us about the bigger picture, which is that Republicans are in trouble. This is not new. We've known this for a number of months now. Republicans have struggled in their candidate fundraising. They struggled in making sure that their base is enthusiastic and wants to participate, whereas Democrats are just teeming with energy at this point. So this is just another data point that confirms that and also tells us that in those open seats that you mentioned, where Republicans are a real risk of losing those seats because they don't have a battle-tested incumbent defending them, that those are the places where the most amount of spending is going to go down in November.
Elena Schneider, campaigns reporter at Politico, thanks as always.
Thanks so much.
And as we talk about these results, we want to let you know that on Friday, we're focusing an entire show on non-voters, people in this country who either can't vote or choose not to. If you're a non-voter, we want to hear from you. Why don't you or can't you vote? Tell us why at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.